Allora, dagli un esame di attestazione.
Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to meet you this Sunday.
Dagli un esame di attestazione.
So today we're going to talk about the Buddhist practice of going for refuge. So going for refuge is something that marks one out as a Buddhist. So we're going to look at today what are the objects of refuge, what are the causes that lead one to willingly go for refuge, and then the way of thinking that is required in order, a way of thinking that's required for a practice to be one of refuge.
The
mind of refuge is of particular importance in Buddhism because it is the boundary as to whether one can, whether one is a Buddhist or not a Buddhist. So it's the doorway to, by which or through which one enters into the practices of the Buddha Dharma. So therefore, the mind of refuge is one of particular importance. And here, just to say as an aside, in terms of the translation, this word refuge, it has the meaning of protection. So you can understand refuge as meaning protection. Today is actually an exceptionally auspicious day, so I have to say it brings great delight to me to be able to meet you today, and also in particular to talk about this topic on such an auspicious day, because today is the anniversary of the first teaching that Buddha Shakyamuni gave all those many centuries ago in Varanasi. So it's called the Wheel Turning Day, where the Dharma wheel, the wheel of Dharma, was turned for the first time. So in Varanasi, 2,500 years ago, Buddha Shakyamuni today gave his very first teaching, that on the Four Noble Truths. It starts to then look at what are the objects that one goes to for refuge, or to translate it differently, the objects to which one goes to for protection. So in Buddhism, we talk about three objects of refuge. So there are three jewels, three jewels that one goes to refuge towards. The first is the Buddha jewel, the second is the Dharma jewel, and the third, the Sangha jewel. So these are the three objects of refuge: the Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel.
kunjo sum de sanje kunjo chio kunjo kidin kunjo suminza da na sanje kunjo se de sanje kunjo de sanje se de kane chi la sanje le gore se a chi yo wa da na sanje se de ji kane chi la sanje le gore se a chi yo wa da.
Let's look then at the first of the three objects, that of the Buddha jewel. So the Buddha jewel refers to a Buddha. So what constitutes, what makes a being suitable to be called a Buddha? To understand what a Buddha is, the first point to understand is that a being that is a Buddha wasn't always a Buddha, wasn't always an enlightened being. Prior to enlightenment is something that is attained, it's developed within oneself. So beings that attain enlightenment, that become Buddhas, at one point they were ordinary beings just like us, ordinary beings whose minds were dominated by destructive emotions like anger and attachment and suffered in so many ways, just like us. But through training their minds in the Buddha Dharma, cultivating virtuous qualities, eliminating faults, and doing so with great diligence, eventually they became a Buddha. The situation that we find ourselves in is that we have many destructive emotions that cause us so much mental anguish and suffering. Minds such as attachment and desire, minds such as anger and frustration and annoyance, ignorance of many types of confusion and many things that we don't know, many things that remain hidden to us. So we have a wide array of these afflicted minds or destructive emotions that cause us so much inner turmoil and torment. And that's the position that we as ordinary beings find ourselves in.
So as was just mentioned,
Buddhas, beings that have attained enlightenment, were ordinary just like we are. And the being that was to be that attained enlightenment and became known as Buddha Shakyamuni, so amongst the many Buddhas that became Buddha Shakyamuni, just like all the other Buddhas, trained and developed his mind over a vast period of time, eliminating all faults and attaining good qualities. So the word Buddha is a Sanskrit word. The Tibetan word is Sangye. So Sangye, this word is comprised of two syllables. Thank you. Two syllables. The first being Sang, the second Gye. So the meaning of Sang can be likened to awaken. Like when we wake up in the morning, and we arise all fresh, the clear mind. So this then refers to that a being who has attained enlightenment has completely purified their minds of all faults, of all the gross faults such, or the coarse faults such as the afflicted minds like anger and desire, as well as the seeds and the imprints from which these arise, and has eliminated them so completely that they will never arise again. So this, the mind is completely purified of all faults, not just coarse faults, but the very subtlest faults as well, and completely purified in the sense these afflictions, or anything even resembling an affliction, will never again arise. And that then is the meaning of the first syllable of the name Sangye or Buddha, and that is the syllable Sang. Then the second syllable verse of Gye. So this we can liken to a flower that's opening and blossoming. So generally when we think of in the Buddhist context, think of a lotus flower that's arisen from the mud of a pond and is opening, blossoming. So this meaning to arise, then this refers to the development of the omniscient consciousness. So a being who attains omniscience or attains enlightenment, it completely purifies all their afflictions, the meaning of sang, and then ge, they develop, they attain an omniscient consciousness, meaning everything becomes known to them. Everything becomes known to them manifestly, explicitly. Nothing is hidden or unknown. So this is, of course, very different from us right now. There's lots we don't know. Whereas a being who's a Buddha has an omniscient, their consciousness is omniscient, and therefore all phenomena, everything that exists, is known to them. So being that then is a Buddha, that it is suitable to be called a Buddha, to be called Sangye, is a being who has completely eliminated all their afflicted minds together with the seeds and the imprints from which they arise, and it's to eliminate them perfectly. In other words, not even a trace with them, the slightest trace of them, will ever arise again. And moreover, they have developed all good qualities to a degree of perfection. And this then is expressed through the omniscient consciousness. So a Buddha then is a being that has been developed to, has developed themselves to a point of perfection. All faults have been completely eliminated and all good qualities have been developed to a level of perfection. Such a being is a Buddha.
Then 신약이 데네디 라야디 꼼부슈르 에시오르 데네디 라야 꼼부슈르 데네디 뻬마시기다 마주기 에 지 점블이 나래 약효들이 에시오르 와다 가지고 산지 꼼초세데
That's the meaning then of the word Buddha. In the context of refuge, you talk about the Buddha jewel. So the word jewel, kunchok, again, has two syllables, kun and chok. So kun is the syllable that means rare. So something being very rare. Chok means supreme or greatest or best. So this then we can understand through a worldly context. So if we think of something that is rare and a possession of great value that's rare in this world, we'd say probably diamonds. If someone has diamonds, very good, it has something of great value. So this is something that's rare, and perhaps many people would agree amongst worldly possessions, diamonds are supreme. Then we could understand then the meaning of the word jewel in this way. That it is a being that is a Buddha, is a being that has perfected themselves, and therefore a being that has perfected themselves, such a being in the world is extremely rare, but is also the supreme amongst beings. So this then is the meaning of the term jewel in Buddha, jewel. So now when you hear about a Buddha or Buddhas in general, or a particular Buddha such as Buddha Shakyamuni, understanding the meaning of this term Buddha, you will know that this is a being who trained and develops their mind to a point of perfection, where they have perfectly eliminated all faults, all afflicted minds together with their seeds and imprints, and developed all good qualities also to a degree of perfection, and this way developed their wisdom of omniscience. So this is the meaning of the term Buddha, and whenever you hear about a Buddha or Buddhas in general, or at the particular Buddha of Buddha Shakyamuni, that you will understand the meaning of what it means to be an enlightened being, a being who has attained perfection.
Lamdi Gombala Dene and Yomo Berigla, the Rik Tamara, Rik Shuk Chewata, Chumata, Denegan, Chendinigi, Yomo Berig, Sabana, Cheva, Kaya Ruma, Chipanti, Pompi, Cotin Tela, and the Chocojosi Ore, Chesan, Lamdenda, Cotin Yidela, Chocojola Gore.
So we mentioned that the objects that one goes to for refuge, for protection, will be the three jewels. And we've looked at the first, that of the Buddha jewel, and now the second, that of the Dharma jewel. So the Dharma jewel refers to realizations, or qualities, within the mind of particularly developed beings, or Arya beings, noble beings. So a being that's referred to as an Arya being or a noble being has given rise to particular qualities of realization. And those then are what is meant by the Dharma jewel. In brief, it's the true paths and true cessations. So this is what is meant by the Dharma jewel. So the true path then path is a mental path, these are minds. So it's mental paths that have directly realized the Four Noble Truths. The anniversary of the teaching is today, of course. So the path These mental parts that are on the continuum of a noble being, an Arya being, these are parts that have directly realized the Four Noble Truths. And through realizing these, one attains true cessations. And cessations refer to when one has attained these true parts, one starts to eliminate the varying levels of these destructive emotions or these afflicted minds, starting from the coarsest level of afflictions down to the subtlest levels. So when these are starting to be abandoned, each level of abandonment is a cessation, where that level of destructive emotion ceases. So these minds that are true cessations and true paths are what is meant by the Dharma Jewel.
Na gendin go jo se di deni ge lam nyamlen che che phabi lam gyule ji de ge lam den gyule de jin a de che go jo se jo ro lam den deni ge gyule ji de ge ge phabi ga sa de ge la ani gendin go jo si go le.
And the third jewel, that of the Sangha jewel, this refers to the beings who have the Dharma jewel in their continuum, the noble beings or the Arya beings. Those beings who have attained that or cultivated, generated within themselves true paths and true cessations, in other words, the Dharma jewel, these Arya beings, these noble beings, are the Sangha jewel. So these then are the three objects of refuge, the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel, usually referred to as the three jewels or the triple gem. And what causes one to go for refuge? Well, there are two causes that lead one to go for refuge or go to protection to the three jewels. The first cause for going for refuge, this comes about through thinking about the meditating in some detail about the suffering natures of samsara or cyclic existence, coming to see just how many problems and difficulties pervade the experience of ordinary beings like ourselves who are trapped within samsara, and how seldom happiness comes away, and certainly when we do experience happiness, how quickly this dissipates, it just does not last. When we think about all the problems that we ourselves experience, those that we know and experience, as well as what we observe in the world, we can think about the various physical sufferings, such as unwanted illness that afflict beings, or the mental suffering, minds such as desire and anger and pride and jealousy that destroy any hope of mental peace, and then external problems in the world, whether it's a conflict in the home, conflict in between communities, conflict between nations. When one thinks about this in fine detail, one sees just how many problems one's beings experience, and that even when things are going well, there's always the possibility of the situation changing in the blink of the eye, and an awful unwanted situation coming about. And this is the situation for humans everywhere, no matter what kind of society or what kind of situation they find themselves in. Likewise, it's pervasive throughout the animal kingdom as well. So through thinking about the suffering nature of samsara, a wish to be liberated, to be freed from suffering, a wish not to have to experience these unwanted problems and difficulties ever again arises. And this is the first cause. So again, we can understand this through relating it to our everyday life experience. So if we're in a situation that is manifest to us, it's very clear to us that this situation is beset with problems, that we're having a lot of conflict. There's every way we turn with it, we try this or we try that, we just experience more and more problems and difficulties. Actually, the wish to leave will come about. The wish to extract ourselves from the situation, because we see it as something hostile, as something difficult, as just being beset with problems and difficulties. And naturally, we'll want to be freed of this problem, the situation, liberated, go somewhere else. On the other hand, if everything's great, life is problem-free, and everything around us is just perfect, then no wish to change. Everything is exactly how it is, and exactly how you want it, and we have confidence it always will be. And no wish to change. So this is the same as that can be likened then to this first cause that leads to the wish to go for refuge, is thinking about our situation and thinking about it with clarity and coming to understand clearly the suffering nature of cyclic existence. This leads to us to the natural wish to arise, to be free, to be liberated of suffering, to be freed of this situation where it often seems like one problem befalls another and then another, and sometimes we have three or four befalling us at the same time. And when you see how we always either in such a situation or at the point where it's always at the possibility of falling into such a situation, the wish to be freed of this naturally arises. With meditation, to understand a topic, one starts meditate at a very coarse level, and when you get some understanding, one sequentially goes down to a subtler level. So to understand this clearly on a coarse level, one thinks about what we observe usually through the news, and we see how some people are living really in quite desperate situations, either due to famine and famine or drought, but where in places where the government cannot support them, or where there is terrible conflict. And we know that there are countless beings living in such situations in the world. And one can imagine the conversations that happen between families, or within families rather, where people look at the situation and think, what can we do? How can we free ourselves from the situation? How can we take our children somewhere that's safe, somewhere that's secure? And we see then there's these patterns of migration where either refugees come here, or they go to other safe countries such as within Europe or to the United States, trying to be freed of problems, freed of difficulties. We see this very clearly in the world, and if we imagine ourselves in that situation, we would also look for ways to liberate ourselves, free ourselves from these problems. So that's the first of the two causes that turn one's mind towards refuge, turn one's mind towards the three tools. The second is to reflect on the qualities of the three tools. And this needs to be done so that one can have the conviction that there is a point in turning towards the three tools for protection, for refuge. That point being, due to their qualities, they can provide protection. So this then is the second cause. So the second course then, when coming to know and then clearly see the qualities of the three jewels, then faith will arise within oneself, a mind of faith that there is a great purpose in turning one's mind towards the three jewels for protection from suffering, in order to attain or develop within oneself liberation from suffering. But one will only do so if one clearly sees for oneself the qualities of the three jewels. Otherwise, there should be no reason to turn to them for protection. So to understand this clearly, we think of the illustration again for those in desperate situations who are looking to flee a place of environmental problems or conflict. If they've never heard of Australia, they're going to have no idea to come here. It will not even occur to them. Or if they look at a map and they see Australia, but they don't know of the many great qualities within this country, they may have heard of Australia, but again, no wish to come here. They will not see that coming to Australia will provide them with a desired protection from suffering, with liberation from suffering. Whereas on the other hand, if they've heard about the great qualities of living in Australia. They've researched it well, and they've heard from those that they know and trust. They hear that the environmental concerns that perhaps plague where they live now are not found here, and that there's a government in Australia that provides protection from overt harm. Thinking like this, if they come to know these qualities clearly, they will see Australia as a place that provides protection from suffering, that living here, they would be liberated from their suffering.
Deleke kyoba kowa dili dunga dili kyoya ki nyuba dita wane kunjo sumla nyuba du yenden du sanpeke kunjo yenda tuwe ki yenda tuwa nidi di nidi nga zu samna jen odu dina nga zu kariki wasinne de kunjo sumla ya kyapsu chuk hore, kyapsu chuk hore.
Having reflected then on the suffering nature of cyclic existence and given rise to a wish to be freed of problems, freed of difficulties, and seeing that the three jewels have the qualities and therefore the ability to provide this longed for protection from suffering, then one's mind will naturally turn towards the three jewels, and one will go for refuge, go for protection to the three jewels. So in this way, these two causes lead to the result of one going for refuge to the three jewels.
Oh, that didn't get any jumps to jobs to do it. Jumbo said the Ganesi Laguri Lana, that did it. Didn't get Junibo Tella Tene, Tangi Duma de Kitty, Sanko, Dini Conjus, Jubri, Sambi, Yishibi, Yishibi, Yishi, Jubri, Sabi, Jubri, Sambi, Yishibi, Kalimbe, Tamjadi. Duma,
having cultivated these two causes, then independent on these, from the depths of one's heart arises the wish, I will go for refuge to the three jewels, because they have the ability, the capacity to provide protection from suffering. They have the ability to enable my inner development so that I develop within myself protection from suffering. And when this mind of conviction within the qualities of the three jewels arises within from the depths of one's heart, then one that it has developed a mind that is going for refuge. Cultivating these two causes repeatedly in meditation, coming to see firstly how suffering pervades cyclic existence and giving rise to an ever stronger wish to be freed of this, and then the second cause of coming to see clearly for oneself the qualities of the three jewels, that they have the ability to protect one from suffering, then one's mind of refuge grows ever stronger. And in particular, looking at when we look at these two causes, if one has some doubts, if one thinks, oh well, sometimes life's a bit hard, but actually generally it's okay, then that first cause is weak. And therefore, the resulting mind that goes for refuge is going to be weaker. The stronger this conviction arises within us that that samsara is pervaded by suffering, that our suffering comes from our minds within us, these minds of anger and attachment and the like, the stronger this understanding is, the more definite our conviction of the situation is, the stronger our mind of refuge will be.
Ta sangilya konjo sum yang dungalo kyubi nibo yore te ine da ngaozu gyula ta konjo sum kyubri se bi yise tangma chi da de tembu chi meba ina ngaozu lya ane karsore dungalo kyo tugo mare karase ne bene tirwa labra jehempe masu yenden kewa chemo shu ji garalabna lafshinge kewa chemo shu ji yewa che ta lapen Loma diglia, that did Yabola Gina, Mena, Quella, Shinina, Mena, some of the Dogosa, but in the seven, quote, Chica, Gendela, Tizira, Donate, Chichangbarwa. And that Loma diglia, oh, that didn't Yawishing, Jahadi, Quella, getting him machine, what you could never, she was too good at the Zugres and be each Sangmar, Chesha, same shoe, Chevina, and Lavangin, Yabola, Sosura, Janjane, Lofio, the Yawishing Roa. जिना अदेदी लबुयेन लबसिंगोर याकोयोर लबुयोर इनादा येना मेना कोयनेदी सिंगवाचा जो तुगिने मेना समजे दिनीगे समलोदी येना जांदुय जु दनेर सुखचिम बदलिगो मा जांदुय दनेर सुखचिम मेना मालेना अने येने गजे लबना मने ने चिके याकोरा सिंग तुमेरो बेरो स्थिरवा सेसा नानजुलिया पेना इनिमा चाक्युरो स्कति ताबेना देलिया ci kuro ci mevene ya len ile ya ma respen di ro ci vene ye ya ka wo wa on so so ran la along ci ye ran along se ding a ci kun ju sum le de ba yi ci be de ba ten bu ci se along ro ci le te ye na de sa ji ge ma kun ju di ci de n ko ya ma ci ya ta ko wa le ju jin du le si wo wa
One needs to engage in these reflections repeatedly so that one's conviction of the suffering nature of cyclic existence and that the three jewels can provide protection from suffering, that this grows stable within us. And this conviction is not wavering. It's not sometimes, yeah, I think so, and sometimes, yeah, maybe not. Because if one's conviction is wavering like that, if there's some doubt, some uncertainty, then the ability of the three jewels to lift us from suffering, to guide us to in our self-development, to free ourselves from suffering, their ability will not be able to have much impact on us. So we've heard about the great qualities of the three jewels. But for those three jewels to be able to have an impact on ourselves, that depends on our reciprocal attitude. So this is what we're talking about here in terms of developing a mind of stable conviction. So if we think back to either our school days or our university days, we may have had a very skilled professor before us, and that professor may have had a great attitude and really wanted to impart all her knowledge to us and developed very great skills within her students. But if a student sitting there thinking, yeah, I wonder if she really knows what she's talking about. You know, she's got maybe a great title or many qualifications posted on the wall, but I'm not so sure she really knows what's going on. Then for sure that student's not going to be listening well and is not going to go home and do much study and is not going to do particularly well in terms of their development of knowledge. On the other hand though, if the student has great trust in the professor, then everything the professor says, she'll listen well, her notes will be detailed, she'll go home wanting to study and understand them, probably read further, etc., and come to do very well. So this illustration shows how for the professor, all the three jewels, for their great qualities to have an impact on ourselves, we need to develop sincere conviction with towards their qualities, not something contrived, but through investigation and contemplation, that we have conviction that the three jewels can guide us in our inner transformation and thereby protection from suffering. We've spoken then about the qualities of the three jewels. We've spoken about the causes that lead to the mind of refuge. We've spoken about the need to develop stable, unwavering trust and conviction in the three jewels in order for us with sincerity to turn towards them for protection from suffering. And that is the mind of refuge. So then, how do the three jewels provide refuge or provide protection? So the three jewels then. First is Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddha jewel, and he is the teacher of refuge. And then the Dharma jewel, this is the actual refuge. So of the three jewels, the actual refuge is the Dharma jewel. And then the third, the Sangha jewel, they play the role of being our helpers or our companions in our development. So Buddha jewel is the Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddha jewel is the teacher of refuge. The Dharma jewel is the actual refuge, and the Sangha jewel are our helpers, our companions. So you remember earlier we mentioned that the three jewels are the Buddha jewel, which is a Buddha is a being who has completely eliminated all faults and developed all good qualities to a state of perfection. The Dharma jewel are the realizations, the mental realizations, the minds of true paths and true cessations. And then the Sangha jewel are the beings who have the Dharma jewel in their continuum. So Arya beings or noble beings. So to understand then how the three jewels provide protection, we again use an analogy. So we, through meditating on the causes of refuge, we have come to understand how we we've come to understand the suffering nature of cyclic existence and given rise to wish to be freed of that, and we've understood that the three jewels have the ability to protect us. So this then can be likened to someone who's recognized they're ill. So a patient. Or many pockets. That's okay.
Okay.
So
the flesh.
So we can be likened to a patient who has recognized that we are ill. That, of course, we've understood that we are suffering, so we recognize that we're ill, so we can be likened to a patient. Now we go to a very skilled doctor, so an expert in our field of illness. And a skilled doctor is likened to the Buddha jewel. And the Buddha jewel, the skilled doctor, will diagnose our illness and will prescribe medicine, which is likened to the Dharma jewel, the actual refuge. But to ensure that we follow the prescription perfectly, then if we are in hospital, we'll be cared for by nurses, or if we're at home, we'll have someone who is taking care of us to make sure we follow the prescription perfectly. And these nurses or carers would be likened to the Sangha jewel. The Sangha jewel then, they serve to ensure that we follow the advice given by the Buddha jewel perfectly. In other words, that our usage of the Dharma jewel, which is the medicine, is faultless. So if, with the analogy, we need to take certain medication at certain times a day in correct quantities. Now we're ill, we maybe get it a little bit confused, we don't know, we don't understand the medical procedures very well. So our nurses or carers will take care of us, ensure that at the right times we take the right medication in the right quantities. So this is the role of the Sangha jewel. They ensure that we follow the advice of the Buddha perfectly. In other words, the Dharma jewel, the teachings of the Buddha, these we cultivate within ourselves. Because you remember the Dharma jewel, this is the mind of true cessations and true paths. When we cultivate these within us, when we develop the Dharma jewel within us, within our own minds, that is when we have cultivated protection from suffering. Because the Dharma jewel is the true paths as well as true cessations, cessation of suffering. So the Sangha jewel then are those companions, helpers, who guide us in terms of our development. The Buddha teaches us the Dharma, which shows us the causes of suffering, the solutions to that, how to meditate on these, how to give rise to them in our minds. And when we do give rise to the solutions within us, this arises as true paths and true cessations, the Dharma jewel. And that is how we become free of suffering. It's through cultivating the Dharma jewel within us.
And But I check on the Japanese mother, getting good to the San Yakonjo, the Japanese, when it is a Malta, some big, and the Nigger Sano Koregi, Nyangayorwa.
So it would be a mistake if one takes this, that Dharma jewel, which is the actual refuge, it would be a mistake then if one was to think, well, if the Dharma jewel is the actual refuge, what's the importance of the other jewel, the Buddha jewel and the Sangha jewel? So the Buddha jewel, we know, is the teacher of refuge, and the Sangha jewel are our companions. But if they are not the actual refuge and the Dharma jewel is the actual refuge, then what's the point of those two? Now that would be a mistaken way to think. So, wanting to be healed from illness, the only thing that really has the ability to heal the illness is the medicine they take. Without taking that medicine, they will not be healed. No matter how skilled their doctor is, or how many skilled nurses or carers they have caring for them. But similarly, if the patient goes perhaps to a dispensary or a pharmacy and sees this array of medication, without a skilled doctor, without carers to make sure that they are following the prescription well, they too will be lost, surrounded by all this medicine, and they will not be able to heal themselves. So similarly, if one just tries to cultivate the Dharma jewel within oneself, one will not attain freedom from suffering. One needs the founder Buddha, the teacher of refuge, the teacher of the Buddha Dharma. And one also needs one's companions, those that one receives teachings from regularly, one's Dharma friends. One needs that community. All three together will ensure that the medicine is taken well and that the result is achieved. Because it's for the Dharma jewel, it is only the Dharma jewel that has the actual power to provide protection from suffering, because the Dharma jewel, the minds of true parts and true cessations, when we cultivate those within us, we are freed from suffering, we are liberated from suffering. So that is why the Dharma jewel is what actually has the power to provide protection from suffering. It is our own minds that when they are fully well developed, that provide us with protection from suffering. But in order to bring that about, we need to rely on the Buddha jewel, the teacher of the refuge, as well as the Sangha jewel, the companions that we have in the cultivation of these mental paths.
ご提案だ、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。寄与で中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで寄与をこれ。中国中で、ラムネセで
In terms of the causes of our suffering, the solutions to those suffering, and how to meditate how to develop the solutions to our suffering through meditation, this was all taught by Buddha Shakyamuni, the Buddha Chul. The Sangha Chul are our companions in our spiritual development, and the Dharma Chul, this is the qualities. Initially, it's the qualities in the mind of the Sangha Chul and the Buddha Chul, but the Dharma Chul, it will eventually arise within ourselves. These realizations, the realizations of true paths and true cessations, it's them that bring about our true protection of suffering, because when they are generated within oneself, one not only will not take rebirth in the lower realms, but one will take no further uncontrolled rebirth in samsara. And moreover, one will not accumulate any causes for rebirth in samsara. So that's again why the Dharma Chul, the cultivation of the true paths and true cessations in our own mind, independence on the guidance of the Dharma Chul and the companionship of the Sangha Chul, leads us to protection from suffering.
Mm-hmm. Sāṅsāṅ yu jīmdhīn dhīgī, gārā sūṅvā rē lāb nā, sāṅ yu jīmdhīn dhīgī, tā kyōng zū gī, kā ngā dī, dūngā dhīgī, ngī lāqbī gī mē bā sūyā yu mā rē, spēnē ngā zū lī dhīvā jākbā rō, tā sūkbā rō, lāqbī chītā tā jī mē bā sūyā yu rō bā, o dī nā jī, kyōng zū gī, dūngā kā ngā dī, ngī lāqbī mē bā sūyā yu mā rē jī rē, tā lāqbī mē bā sūyā mē bā rē, anī, dhūvī gī, kā ngā dhīgī yā, anī, ngī gī, pēnē yuandhīn dhīgī dhīgī, yuandhīn dhīgī, kyōng zū lī yā, 这个怕路线这些可能是原点起不出来有马来来的就是你一多把钱了告诉我周围东啊差给没事了就周围东啊的你给老百姓没把水土马来是你一多把钱了后面没得是的你给原点的给可能是你马这些呢可能是去了原点点些的那样马来是所以说刚才马吉巴的那样马来是但你一个老百姓呢你去年点把点比如周啊就是的你告诉你是呢
Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was abiding in the world, he taught that although I am a Buddha, I have perfected all good qualities and completely eliminated all faults. I cannot, with my hands, wash away all your faults, clear away all your problems. I cannot do that for you. Nor all my good qualities. I can't just give them to you. I can't take them from my mind and put them in your mind. This I cannot do. What I can do, though, is I can teach the Buddha Dharma. I can teach, for example, the Four Noble Truths. And you need to hear these teachings. You need to reflect on these teachings. And eventually come to be able to actually meditate on these teachings. And by hearing my teachings repeatedly, reflecting on them repeatedly, In this way, you will be able to give rise to the Dharma jewel within yourself, give rise to protection from suffering through your own mental developments. But in order to bring this about, you need to hear my teachings, reflect on them, meditate on them repeatedly over a sustained period. So what has just been presented then is how, through going for refuge, one eliminates suffering, one attains freedom from suffering and problems and all difficulties. So again, the Buddha taught, he can't wash away our problems for us. He can't reach down and remove our suffering and our causes of suffering, nor can he give us all these good qualities and give us, bestow upon us happiness. This can only be done through ourselves, independence on receiving teachings of the Buddha Dharma, reflecting and meditating on them. So if we want to summarize Buddhism in its briefest form, we can think of Buddhism in terms of its view and behavior or conduct. So the view would be a view of dependent arising. Independence on a cause comes a result. Things don't come about causelessly, nor can they come about through inappropriate causes. So again, the Buddha can't, a suitable cause is not the Buddha bestowing good qualities. That is not a suitable cause. A suitable cause is through receiving teachings, reflecting on them, and then they arise in one's mind. The reflection process is developing good qualities within oneself, weakening harmful minds within oneself. So this view of dependence arising is that independence on the cultivation of particular causes, particular results come about. The more powerful the causes, the more powerful the results will come. And this then is true for a result of happiness will come from a particular cause. An unwanted result, this too comes from a particular cause. So this view of dependence, the view of dependence arising, this is the view of Buddhism. Then the conduct or the behavior of Buddhism, this in its briefest form, is not to bring harm to others. Through one's way of physically behaving, not to bring any harm to others. Through one's way of communicating, verbally communicating, not to bring any harm into the lives of others. And our way of physically acting and speaking, it comes about independent on our way of thinking. so the appropriate behavior of within Buddhism, the mind is a mind of non-harmfulness. And from this mind of not wanting to bring any harm to others, our physical and verbal behavior will not bring any harm. Through cultivating this view, as well as this behavior, then one will not bring any further suffering and difficulty into the lives of those around oneself. One oneself, through not creating the causes for suffering, one oneself will experience more happiness. So through developing this view and the behavior, one brings one doesn't cause problems in the lives of others, but rather cultivates a cause for happiness. So this is the Buddhism in brief, the view of dependence arising and the conduct of non-harmfulness. We heard right at the beginning that going for refuge, you go to the three jewels or the triple gem. So this is how Buddhists go to refuge, and we've heard what these are. But then just to emphasize again why there is a need for all three. If one just relies on the Buddha jewel, one perhaps has great faith in the Buddha, in the teacher of refuge, but that is all one does, have great faith in the Buddha, trust in the Buddha, that will not lead to an end of suffering, liberation from suffering. Because no matter how strong our faith alone in the Buddha is, good qualities will not arise within our mind, nor will all faults be eliminated in our continuum. It's just like if one is ill and goes to the doctor and receives an excellent diagnosis and an unmistaken prescription. If one leaves it at that, one will stay ill. So what we need to do to become freed of suffering, for the mind of refuge to fulfill its potential, we need to follow the advice of the doctor. We need to take our medication. Because that is the only way we can develop the Dharma jewel within us, these true paths and true cessations. Develop those realizations of the Buddha Dharma within ourselves. No matter how strong our faith is in the Buddha cannot arise in our mind. We are different. A Buddha is of one continuum. We are of a different continuum. So a Buddha or Buddha Shakyamuni cannot arise in our continuum. What we need to do is rely on the Dharma jewel.
Tak gini kau jauh kau bade kahre labna, ane cikai sanjau kau cuitan cuitan ni siapa na jigi doa sih dah sanjigi macam cuit, Kale Lakendi, Tapa Gedi, Kansadigi, Gedingo Chow, Dinishi, Meva and Nanzugi, Jang Tuoma, Meva and Zan, then Gedding Gedi Kitchmut, Gimsendi.
And if one thinks, as we've heard about the importance of the Dharma Jewel, the actual refuge, and the teacher of refuge, the Buddha Jewel, if one thinks, well, that's sufficient, what do I need the Sangha Jewel for? Well, that would also be a mistake. In reality, it's a little difficult for us to meet Buddha Shakyamuni. It's a little difficult for us to receive teachings from him directly. And moreover, to give rise to the Dharma Jewel within ourselves, we need to train our mind, we need to practice, we need to gain experience of the Buddha Dharma. And to do that, we need to receive teachings, we need to be guided in our spiritual development. And it's going to be a bit difficult to receive that from Buddha Shakyamuni himself. So we need to rely on those who appear as similar to us. We need to rely on a teacher who can teach the unmistaken Buddha Dharma, who can guide us in our spiritual development. And this teacher then, we see as being the Sangha Jewel. So therefore, one needs to rely on all three of the jewels in order to spiritually develop. The Sangha Jewel then, we heard were noble beings, Arya beings, who have generated the Dharma Jewel within their minds through paths and through cessations. So noble beings or Arya beings, those who have the Dharma Jewel, include Buddhas. All Buddhas are also Arya beings. There are also non-Buddhas who are Arya beings. So therefore, the Sangha Jewel includes both Buddhas and those who are rapidly approaching the state of enlightenment. So it should be clear now why one needs to rely on all three jewels, and this is a definite enumeration. Not one, not two, but three. But then maybe someone here is thinking, amongst all the beings that have existed in this world, three is kind of small. Well, shouldn't there be more jewels than just these three?
Lam in a chio conjo conjo canesine, yana ginning conjo ingor, yana chio conjo, yana san yo conjo conjo sum dinan duruor, chisan dinesa, conjo sum chayadil, mao yu yoma, nunja yu yoma, tada de chatiko rechere.
Well, actually, there are innumerable instances of the three jewels. Because if we think of the first, the Buddha jewel, it refers to Buddha Shakyamuni, but not Buddha Shakyamuni alone. It refers to all Buddhas, and there are innumerable beings who have cultivated all good qualities to the level of perfection and completely eliminated all faults, and thereby have perfected themselves and become Buddhas. Likewise, the Sangha jewel. Again, there are innumerable beings who have given rise to true paths and cessations in their qualities. All those Buddhas, as well as the Arya beings who are not yet Buddhas, but have attained such realizations within their continuums. So there are many instances of the Sangha jewel as well. And then all of these Arya beings, all of them, the Buddhas and the other Arya beings, they have the Dharma jewel within their continuum. So therefore there are also innumerable instances of the Dharma jewel. So therefore, from one perspective, you can say there are many of the Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel, but they are all contained within these three. So therefore, to say there are three jewels, and definitely only three jewels, this is correct. If one were to think, well, three jewels, I understand, but wouldn't it be better if there were four jewels, or maybe five? The more the merrier. Well, let's understand this maybe through the analogy of the patient. So if a patient's severely ill, they may well rely on more than one doctor, and from more than one doctor, they are sure to receive more than one prescription. And if they are severely ill, they'll be in hospital and cared for around the clock by many nurses. But still, it would be correct to say that the doctors are of one class, one category, the medication is of a second, and the caring staff, the nurses, these three are of three categories, three classes. There's no need for anything beyond that. One may have more instances, but there's no need for a fourth division or a fifth division. And so it's the same here with ourselves, wanting to be freed of suffering and pain. We need to have an unmistaken founder teacher, the Buddha jewel. We need to have our companions, those that we can relate to on the spiritual path, those who appear like ourselves, the Sangha jewel. The Sangha jewel have developed the qualities of the Buddha Dharma within themselves. And then thirdly, we need to rely on the Dharma, on that prescription, eventually giving rise to the Dharma jewel within our own minds.
那三级现在的三级工作员的人，现在雇员的两个这个那，专门涉及出去，那雇员的来参商部送去参与那，别些商品继续是雇员的包到没有有吧？啊，那土员送雇员的得了啊，那去嘛看呢？没有吧？得去，啊，那几个东西去包到没有送呀？当，啊，那几个送雇员的得了，三级的送几个，别的没加你也几个呀？只好去商业去了，就是这个呀，你就好学会呢。
安尼，第一样安尼见不着，没着，他那就学会呢。三月初那里有送进马来，就是吃上了呀，见不着，没着，他那来就吃，吃就这个呀，也不过的。就是三月有送个元旦的那月来吃的。三月有土个元旦了，现在，今年吧，感觉吃上，你买钱吧，是要吃上千个的，对，我送的钱吧，千百元旦。安尼再话，什么讲他，就动画的，他那三百个，什么讲他们就动画的，这样的，什么讲他们就第一主要的，嗯，讲这个东西。
In terms of the qualities of the Buddha, well, to look at it in a very abbreviated way, so physically he has a wide array of qualities. He can emanate wherever beings are in need in a way that beings can relate to. Secondly, so the physical qualities, amongst these there are many. Then the qualities of speech. So they're the main qualities, the quality of speech, and this is the teaching of the Buddha Dharma. And, and he teaches in accordance with the various personalities of beings. So in a way that works for each being's individual personality. And he can talk, he's not restricted by varying languages, but can guide beings, teach beings directly in a way that is most suited to them. And then in terms of the qualities, so that's the qualities of body and speech and then mind, this is the omniscient consciousness. We can think of the qualities of his mind in terms of the omniscient consciousness. There's nothing that's unknown or hidden. There's no confusion or ignorance at all in a mind that is perfected, an omniscient consciousness. Then moreover, a fourth quality of the Buddha is that of love or care. So this refers to the compassionate motivation of the Buddha, that everything a Buddha does is guided by the wish to free beings from suffering, or guided by the wish to guide beings so they can develop their minds to attain freedom from suffering. And let's look at the precepts that come with going for refuge. So the first is a commitment not to bring harm to others. The second then is that having freely chosen to go to the Three Jewels for refuge and done so with sincerity, one doesn't go elsewhere for refuge or protection, because to do so would lead to confusion and lead to the one's conviction in the Three Jewels weakening. So the second precept then, the first was not ever to bring harm to others, and then the second is to only go to the Three Jewels for refuge. Thirdly, one sees a variety of representations of the Buddha, the statues and the like. One should refrain from criticizing them because some maybe the artist had varying levels of ability or varying degrees of beautiful materials were used. So some may be made from gold, some made from clay or wood. So here one should refrain from criticizing these various representations, saying, oh, this one's better, this one, or not so good. But rather recognize that maybe the craftsmanship and certainly the materials may well differ or do differ, but that any perceived fault doesn't abide within a Buddha, and therefore refrain from criticizing representations of the Buddha. Similar to needing to cultivate a respectful attitude to the physical representations of the Buddha jewel, likewise with the physical representations of the Dharma jewel. So as we heard earlier, the Dharma jewel, the actual refuge, are minds within the Buddhas and Arya beings, and the minds we wish to cultivate eventually within ourselves. But the representations are the Dharma texts. So these we should, as representations of the actual refuge, we should teach, treat in a way that's respectful. We shouldn't put them on the floor, walk over them, sit on them, put them in somewhere that's unclean or allow them to remain dusty. So the representation of the Dharma jewel, just like the representation of the Buddha jewel, we should have a respectful attitude towards. Likewise, one doesn't objects on top of Dharma text, because one should have this respectful attitude towards it. One wouldn't even put an image of the Buddha on top of a Dharma text, because the Dharma text represents the Dharma jewel, the actual refuge. And so if you think of a shrine, for example, the Dharma text will be at the highest point, and the Buddha images, they will be lower than the Dharma texts. Need to use one's wisdom and not grasp tightly at rules. So let's say we're reading a book outside, a Dharma text outside, and it's windy, and we put the text down. You may want to put something on the text so the pages stay open and they don't blow in the wind. This is of course fine, and this would be most obvious with the traditional texts, which have loose leaf pages. So then if you place an object on the text so it doesn't blow away, this makes sense. But other than that, one does not place something on top of a Dharma text, whether it's one's mala or the clock, one would not do so. Sorry, I've gone on a little bit longer today, so I just want to now summarize briefly what we spoke about today, in particular then how to engage in the meditation on refuge. Because, as we've heard, refuge then is a mind, there's a mind of refuge. And the strength of our refuge depends on the strength of this mind of refuge. So we've just mentioned about the precepts and the things not to engage in. So my hope is that one will not not engage in these deeds, these acts, out of all these are the rules, I mustn't break them, but rather develop the mind of refuge and thereby not want to contravene the precepts of refuge. And the way then to develop the mind of refuge is, as we heard at the beginning of the talk, to reflect on the two causes. the suffering nature of cyclic existence. How if we are not manifestly experiencing suffering, that situation though may still change at any moment, and something awful may befall us. Come to think in great detail about the sufferings of samsara, so that we give rise to a wish to be freed of suffering. And what makes that reflection much more powerful, much more meaningful, is then if we take our awareness from our own experience of suffering and relate that to the situation of others, reminding ourselves that others too wish to be freed of suffering. Others too don't want to experience even a moment of difficulty. Then, having reflected on suffering, we reflect on the qualities of the three jewels. In particular, that if one develops the Dharma jewel within oneself, that is how one becomes freed of suffering. And so here then, one reflects on the causes of refuge, those two. And then, if one has received teachings on Buddhism, one now engages in the meditation as you have been taught on those teachings. And this way then, the precepts of refuge, they start to become very natural to one, in that as the mind of the Dharma arise within oneself, one will not want to cause any harm in the lives of others. One will not want to talk or act in a way that causes suffering and difficulty for others. Moreover, wherever the opportunity comes one's way, whether through the way of our way of talking, our way of communicating, or our way of acting, where we can bring benefits into the lives of others, we'll want to do so. So in this way, starting from the mind of refuge and that, then into other meditation practices, the wish to bring benefit into the lives of others, the wish to, where we can, reduce the suffering of that others experience, and at the very least not add to their burden of difficulty, will grow ever stronger within us. And as we engage in these meditations more frequently, the wish to continue this path of self-development will grow. We will want to live out this mind of refuge through receiving more teachings and continuing to reflect on those teachings, meditate on those teachings, so we gain ever greater familiarity with our spiritual development, with the minds of the Buddha Dharma. So in this way, our mind of refuge becomes more stable. Our conviction that the three jewels have the ability to protect us from suffering grows more stable. And any distraction through going for refuge elsewhere, those minds just will no longer arise, because we'll be starting to experience our own inner transformation, our own mental development. So then we've finished the talk. So those who've just here for the talk, then thank you very much. Please feel free to go. Those who would like to engage in the refuge ceremony and receive the lay vows, then maybe we'll take a short break so that one can use the facilities down there, and then we'll start in five minutes or so when people return. So thank you.